It's no secret that during the course of our lives, we will all be faced with opportunities to ask and answer life's most difficult questions. Things like, how does gravity work? Did dinosaurs really exist? Why does peanut butter taste so good with jelly? Or where do babies come from? And as life goes on, the questions seem to get more curious and complex. Like, what really happens after we die? Is there only one way to heaven? And why do bad things happen to good people? Regardless of the depth of our questions, we will always search to find the answers. And though the answers may often be different than expected, it's always worth it to ask the questions. You asked for it.
Well, hello, CCV. I want to welcome everybody this weekend on all of our campuses all around the city. But I also want to extend a very special welcome this weekend to our Avondale campus that is launching for the very first time this weekend. That's fantastic news, isn't it? Avondale, we love you, and we are praying for you, and we are so excited to see what God is going to do with you and in you and through you in coming weeks and months and years. We're excited that you're coming on board this weekend. Now, this weekend, we also do start a brand new series called You Asked For It. And over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to try and tackle some of the toughest questions in our society today and provide some Bible-based answers for those things. And today, we're starting out with this question. Are all faiths equal? I want you to just think about that for a moment. Don't raise your hand or yell anything out. Are they equal? What do you think? And maybe just as importantly to some of you, what do your kids think about that? Or maybe what do your grandkids think about that question? How would your neighbors answer this question, are all faiths equal? Or maybe some of your classmates or your coworkers? You see, I've been able to have all kinds of conversations with people in recent years, and I would say this to you, that the increasing majority of people in our world today kind of believe that all faiths and all religions are really just very similar. When you have a Christian person and a Mormon person talking about heaven, they're really kind of talking about the same place. When you have a Christian person and a Jehovah's Witness and a Hindu and a Mormon talking about God, it's basically the same person. All faiths, people would say, pretty much end up in the same place. Now, we all have a different way of getting there, but when we get there, where we end up is very similar. That's what a lot of people in our world today would say and believe, and maybe some of you even this weekend would feel the same. Another belief that's out there, and I've actually had people say to me, is that the real key to your faith is not so much the truth that you believe, but your sincerity. As long as you are sincere, you will be fine. Maybe you could say it like this. In our world today, sincerity is synonymous with truth. As long as you just really believe what you believe, you'll be fine in the end. And you know what? That sounds good, doesn't it? There's only one huge problem with that, and that is that you can be sincerely wrong. And so, friends, listen. There's a lot that hangs in the balance today. Eternities hang in the balance of this question that we're asking. Are all faiths equal? Do they all end up in the same place? And so here's what I want to ask you to do today on all of our campuses. Pull out that little grid that you got in your program when you came in. Or if you don't have a program, pull up that CCV app. And we're going to just talk through a bunch of these different faiths and religions today. And the good news is, if you like to write, you get to write a lot. If you don't like to write, then write just a little bit. Don't worry about it. We're going to make this whole grid available in some form or fashion on our website or through Facebook at CCV later on this week. And I just want to say right now that I'm sure some of you, as soon as you saw the grid, you're already getting excited, right? You're thinking, yes, I love grids, I love information, and you're fired up. Others of you are already thinking, what am I going to do with this grid? I have no idea what I'm going to do. Here's our hope. Our hope is that by the time we are done with this study today, you'll be able to use this grid to have a more knowledgeable conversation with one of your neighbors who may be a Mormon, or somebody in your class, or one of your coworkers who's Hindu or who's Muslim. And I want you to know that I have worked painstakingly at this message, but yet I fully understand this, I cannot represent every single one of these religions perfectly. What I may be saying is there may be some people inside some of these faiths and religions that believe just slightly different than what I am going to describe. I understand that. But I want you to know this. Every single one of these things I'm going to share with you today is well documented and practiced. So let's dive into this. The first part of the grid, we're going to talk about the truth source for all of these different faiths. And then we're going to talk about who is God. And then we're going to talk about who is Jesus. And then we're going to talk about how they view eternity. And let's just get ready to dive into this and see what God does about 25 minutes from now. First of all, the truth source for Christianity, as you know, is this book right here, the Bible. Now, the Bible isn't really just one book. The Bible is actually 66 different books if you look at the Old and New Testament. The Bible is written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. It's written by 40 different individuals on three different continents over a period of about 1,500 years. But the Bible has one central theme through the whole thing, one thread of unity. And the theme through the whole entire Bible is salvation. And the central character of the whole entire Bible is Jesus. In the Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. Friends, the Bible is the most popular and most published book in all of history, with billions and billions in print. This book, the Bible, has stayed on top of the bestseller list for centuries. It's true. What about Scientology? Scientology, the truth source there would be two different things. First of all, Dianetics. It's a book by L. Ron Hubbard, who, by the way, started out as a science fiction writer. Also a book called The Way to Happiness. It's a small book written in 1980 by L. Ron Hubbard, and it contains 21 different moral precepts for living. Now, Scientology, if you know anything about it, is kind of a mystical, a little bit, certainly secretive religion or faith. And they believe that there's certain levels of understanding that you can only get if you're ready for it morally speaking, or if you can attribute or contribute large amounts of money, okay? That also would prepare you for some of these deeper teachings in Scientology. And by far the most popular, famous person in Scientology is not the founder, L. Ron Hubbard. It's actually this guy right here, Tom Cruise. You thought that was Mark Moore, our teaching pastor. No, that's not Mark. That's Tom Cruise. He is a devout Scientologist. Let's continue on in the truth source with Mormonism. There's three different things. First of all, the Book of Mormon. In 1823, an angel named Moroni appeared to Joseph Smith and told him where to find some gold plates. And these gold plates led to the Book of Mormon being published in 1830. This is another testament of Jesus Christ. And it contains different dealings of God with the inhabitants of ancient America from about 2000 BC to about 400 AD. And there are many rivers and lakes and people groups that are mentioned in the Book of Mormon. But something that's kind of interesting is there isn't any archaeological evidence so far for these findings. Secondly, the Doctrine and Covenants contains 138 specific revelations from God in this book. And then also the Pearl of Great Price. And this is a book of translated Egyptian writings that Joseph Smith received. Jehovah's Witness. Their truth source is called the Watchtower and the Awake magazines. The Jehovah's Witness, if you know anything about them, they have a massive, massive publishing company that distributes millions and millions of pieces of literature every year. And so these magazines are important. And then also the Bible for Jehovah's Witness, but only the New World Translation. And this was created by Jehovah's Witness scholars because they would say that the Bible of Christianity has somehow been corrupted. Jehovah's Witness also believe in something called a progressive revelation. And these are, I think, why the magazines are very helpful, and that is because doctrinal changes and refinements can be made as God gradually reveals his will to people. Continue on with Islam. In Islam, it's one single book called the Quran, and it can be spelled in several different ways. Both of these ways are good ways or fine ways to spell the Quran. Muhammad verbally received the Quran from the angel Gabriel over about a 23-year period, he says, from 609 to 632 AD. And Muslims, by the way, is what people who are involved in Islam are called. They're called Muslims.
They say that the Quran is the only protected book by God that hasn't been corrupted. And there's actually tons of Muslim people who have memorized the entire Quran. It's a pretty impressive deal. And then finally, in Hinduism, which is the third largest religion in the world, you have the Bhagavad Gita. First of all, it's like the most precious jewel. Anybody who wants to be studying Hinduism is going to study the Bhagavad Gita. You also have the Vedas, which are the primary text, kind of, and they talk about how you appease the gods with your life. And then you also have the Upanishads, and this is the most important parts of those Veda scriptures. Maybe you've heard of the doctrine of karma. You would find that in these Upanishads is where it talks about the doctrine of karma. So as you can see already as we get into this today, the truth sources, there are many different sacred books for these different faiths and religions. Let's continue on and talk about who is God in all of these different faiths. In Christianity, we would say that God is the creator of the universe. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We would also say that he is three in one. He's part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is also the author of the Bible, as we talked about a little bit ago in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is God breathed. Christians also believe that God is all powerful, and yet he is also very personal. That's an important distinction I want you to keep in your mind as we study some more today, that he is omnipotent, that he is all powerful, but yet he wants to have a personal relationship with you and me. This is a big distinction. In Scientology, they don't really define God. In Scientology, everyone is what you might call a thetan, that has an immortal spirit and unlimited power over their universe. And also in Scientology, there's no really such thing as the Trinity. In Mormonism, who is God? God was once a man who then evolved or became God. Listen to what Joseph Smith says, the founder of Mormonism. I wish to declare, and I have always in all congregations when I have preached on the subject of the deity, that it has been the plurality of gods. Or what about Brigham Young, who's the second prophet of the Mormon church? He says, how many gods are there? I do not know. But there was never a time when there were not gods. There are definitely distinctions about the way the Christian and a Mormon would see God. Another maybe distinction here is that in the Mormon church, they have something called the triad, which is not exactly the same as the Trinity. If you ask a Mormon person if they believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they would say, absolutely, just like a Christian would. But the distinction is that we believe they are three in one in the Trinity, and a Mormon would say they are three separate people in the triad. A Jehovah's Witness has one God called Jehovah. Jehovah. And there's no such thing as the Trinity in a Jehovah's Witness life. It's Jehovah, and that's it. In Islam, there's one God called Allah, and he is one. And again, in Islam, just like Jehovah's Witness, there is no Trinity. Islamic people, Muslim people are very, very monotheistic in their beliefs. What about Hindus? A Hindu person believes in a God called Brahman. And Brahman is very, very big and very, very powerful, but also very impersonal and aloof. In the Hindu religion, there are actually many gods that emanate from Brahman. And you would call them, maybe you've heard this word, avatars. And there's maybe between 30,000 and 300,000, maybe millions of gods in the Hindu world. It's hard to say. It depends where you read. As Christians looking in on a Hindu world, we would say this. We would say that they are polytheistic. Polytheistic, meaning that they believe in all kinds of gods. But a Hindu wouldn't exactly say it that way. They would say they are henotheistic. Henotheistic, meaning they believe in a god Brahman, but they don't deny the existence of many thousands of other gods. So again, as you can see, is we're just cruising through this. When you look at all these faiths and how they view God and who God is and what God is or how many gods there are all kinds of different beliefs and distinctions. Let's continue on. Who is Jesus? In Christianity, he is the one and only Son of God. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He is also the second person in the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Christians believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life on this earth, and yet he died on the cross and arose again on the third day. And another big distinction about Jesus, Christians believe that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. That's another huge distinction I want you to keep in your mind as we study. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the reason we believe this is because that's what Jesus says. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christianity would believe that Jesus is God's one and only Son and the only way to heaven. Scientology, continuing on, doesn't really talk about Jesus very much. They don't really mention Jesus. He didn't die for our sins, and of course, he wasn't resurrected, so there's not a lot of talk about Jesus in Scientology. In Mormonism, this gets very complicated, so hang with me here. In the Doctrine and Covenants that we talked about, one of the sacred books, it would say that Jesus is the firstborn of all spirit children. Jesus is one of God's many, many children, of which there are millions of them. And if you ask a Mormon person, do they believe in the same Jesus that a Christian believes in that walked on this earth, they would say they absolutely do. But they would also say that our view of Jesus in the Bible is incomplete. And that's why a completed view was given to Joseph Smith in 1820. In the Book of Mormon, it's another testament of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, friends, that the Jesus in the Book of Mormon and the Jesus that we have in the Bible, there are differences between them for certain. Maybe just one of those distinctions I would share with you is that Mormon folks would say that when Jesus resurrected, that he not only showed up in the Holy Lands in the Israel area, but he also showed up here in America after he resurrected. And he talked to people and he created disciples right here in the Americas. Mormons teach that salvation comes through faith in Jesus plus baptism in the Mormon temple and good works. And I want you to know, do you understand my heart and my tone here as I share through all of these? In recent years, there have been many, many efforts made to show Mormonism to be congruent with Christianity. And this is one of the biggest areas when it comes to Jesus. And I would just say to you that whether you're a Christian person or whether you're a Mormon person, there are several distinctions between Jesus in these faiths, and you would probably do well to study and research these things. What about Jehovah's Witness? They say that Jesus was the very first created son of Jehovah, but they would not say that Jesus is God. In fact, if you look at their jehovahswitness.org website, it says this, and I quote, "So we do not worship Jesus, as we do not believe that he is the Almighty God." There's a definite distinction there for them. They believe he came to this earth and he lived a life, but they also believe that he died on a stake, not on a cross. Jehovah's Witness also, by the way, believe that Jesus has already returned in 1914, that he defeated Satan in an invisible war, and Jesus' next return will be to destroy all non-Jehovah's Witness because they're the only true believers. They would also say that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. What about Islam? Jesus in Islam is this. He is one of the many, many prophets, but he is not God. Also a very interesting thing here, Muslims would say that Jesus did not die on the cross. He may have went through, you know, he may have had the cross, he may have been in that certain time frame that we talk about historically, but what happens was it just looked like he died, is what a Muslim would say, that there's a switch made, there was a deception, that God actually made someone else look like Jesus and that person died. It says very specifically in the Quran that Jesus did not die and he did not raise from the dead. Jesus is a great prophet, no doubt about it, in the world of Islam, but he is not the only way to God or to heaven. And what about finally Hinduism? Jesus would be considered one of the many, many sons of Brahman, God. He would be like an avatar, if you will, that can be worshiped. And Jesus, of course, was on this earth. They believe that he died, but not on a cross. He didn't resurrect from the grave, and therefore his life wouldn't provide atonement for our sins and give us eternity. Jesus would not be the only way to heaven in Hinduism. There would be quite literally many thousands of ways to get to heaven in the Hindu world. So that's, again, just going through quickly, who is Jesus? And as you can see again, as so much of our world would say, that when you look at all these different faiths, when you look at all these different religions, they have different things, but they all kind of end up in the same place. But what we realize with just a quick overview is that there are many different distinctions, especially about who Jesus is in Christianity and Scientology and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness and Islam and Hinduism. Now let's go into this last part of the grid and let's talk about eternity. What do all of these faiths and all of these religions think about or say about eternity? First of all, Christianity. Christians would say that salvation, eternity with God, salvation is obtained by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. In the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that none can boast." Christians believe that those who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus fully will spend eternity with God in heaven. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus says this, "Whoever acknowledges me before men here on this earth, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever disowns me here on earth, I will disown before my Father who is in heaven." That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10. Also in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "Is it appointed man once to die, and then the judgment?" Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. You're appointed once to die, I'm appointed once to die, and then the judgment. And the reason I want you to think about that and keep that in your head is because some of these things we're going to look at for the next few moments, some of these faiths, they would actually say that maybe you die many times, or even after you die, you can still be saved after that happens. And we're going to see that in just a few moments. So let's move on to Scientology and eternity. In Scientology, eternity or salvation is basically the freedom from reincarnation. In Scientology, people are thetans, and you're reborn again and again through this process called assumption, which in many ways would be analogous to like reincarnation. In Scientology and Hinduism, it's very similar in the fact that there's like this causal relationship between this life and your next life. In other words, if you did a lot of good, you go up. Congratulations. If you did a lot of bad, then you go down. And for a Scientologist, it's not so much staying out of hell or getting into heaven. It's getting free from this reincarnation of what we would call sins. They would call something like engrams. And you get free of those finally, and you can kind of be free of this reincarnation, and you can become this operating thetan. That's eternity in Scientology. What about in Mormonism? In Mormonism, eternity looks like this. You are resurrected by grace, but saved and exalted to godhood by good works. These different works in the Mormon faith would be a strict diet and tithing and the baptism in the Mormon church and mission work and temple rituals. In the Mormon faith, there are also three different levels of heaven. Three levels. The first is the telestial level, and that's the very lowest level of heaven in the Mormon faith. And then you also have the terrestrial level. That's kind of the middle level. And then you also have the celestial level. That's the highest level of heaven in the Mormon faith. And most Mormons would believe and say that about 90 or 99% of people go to levels of glory, not hell. levels of glory, one of these three levels we've just talked about, and not hell. Now, Mormon folks do talk about hell. There's a couple of different types of hell if you really dig into this, and one is more temporary and one is more permanent. The temporary hell for a Mormon person is a place that you can, after you die, actually be rescued from and still make it into eternity with God. The other type of hell is a more permanent type of hell that Mormon folks would say is reserved only for Satan and his angels and something they would call the sons of perdition. And so that's the way eternity looks in a Mormon world. There's always something, also something very interesting in the Mormon faith about eternity, and that is called proxy baptism or vicarious baptism. It is baptism for the dead that happens in certain temples. People right now on earth can actually be baptized for those who have passed away. I actually have a friend. I have a friend back in California who was baptized dozens and dozens of times for folks who had passed away. And in the Mormon faith, oftentimes they will spend hundreds or thousands of hours retracing a family tree and going back so they can be baptized for relatives and maybe then help them achieve eternity with God. That's the Mormon's view of eternity. Jehovah's Witness, they would say that you spend eternity in one of three places. It's pretty simple. If you're one of the 144,000 anointed, then you will reign in heaven with Jehovah forever. If you're one of the rest of the faithful Jehovah's Witness, you will live forever on a paradise earth right here. And if you are not a Jehovah's Witness, you will be destroyed by Jehovah and cease to exist. These are the three places you go. There's really not a hell so much for Jehovah's Witness. There's just one of these levels or places of paradise or heaven or not existing at all. In Islam, it's either eternal paradise if you believe in Islam or eternal hell for those who reject Islam. And in the world of Islam, it kind of works like this. Allah weighs your good deeds and your bad deeds. And whichever comes out better, if you've done more good than bad, then you go to heaven. If you've done more bad than good, then you go down to hell. And in the world of Islam, for Muslims, there is no certainty of salvation. And I just want to say to you, just a side note here, that this is a huge thing. If you have some Muslim friends, one of the coolest things and the most amazing things about Christianity is that we can have assurance of our salvation, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us. And this is a huge thing, and most Muslims don't know. They just hope they've done more good than bad, and Allah will one day weigh that out. And then finally, in Hinduism, each person in Hinduism for eternity goes through infinite stages of reincarnation. You've heard of this concept of karma, where basically the soul migrates up and down based on the good things or the bad things you've done in this life. And most Hindu people, they would believe that they have many, 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 many more lives to lead. And the goal for a Hindu person is basically to merge into the Brahman, that God that we talked about earlier, to merge into the Brahman and escape these endless cycles of reincarnation. The goal is not necessarily to enter heaven, it's to escape all of this reincarnation that happens in your life and merge into the Brahman. So, everybody take a deep breath. Wow. Take just a moment. And I want you to look at the chart that you have in front of you. If you weren't so diligent, look at your neighbor's chart. Here's the takeaway today. It's very simple. As we start into this new series, the takeaway is this. Are all faiths the same? Are all faiths equal? I would say to you that the answer is no, they're not. They don't even claim to be the same. All the faiths of the world, they don't even claim to be going to the same place. And I know some of you right now are thinking to yourself, well, how in the world am I going to remember all of this? Can you go through it again? No. What am I going to do to get this chart in my head and remember all of this? I don't know how to do that. Let me just give you the cheat sheet, okay, if you want. The cheat sheet on this chart and all these religions. Here's what I want you to know. The distinction between all of these faiths that we've studied and Christianity might look like this. All of these other faiths that we faiths and religions that we've talked about, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get up to God. They're trying to make their way up to God. And in some cases, they're trying to become gods through works, through rituals, through countless reincarnations. They're trying to work their way up to God. They're trying to become gods. But here's the deal, CCV. We don't become gods. God became us. God became us. And the amazing truth of Christianity is not that we go up, but that Jesus came down. That's the difference. Not that we go up, but that he came down. And he walked on this earth that we walk on. And he breathed the air that we breathe. Friends, just a couple of weeks ago, I was with a team from CCV in the Holy Land, in Israel. And I walked where Jesus walked. And I saw places where Jesus stood. And I tell you that what we have in Christianity is not Jesus in Narnia. It's Jesus right here on this earth. It is God in the flesh on this earth. In the Bible, in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, it says, your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, because of all of those things, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and he gave him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. God, thank you for this short 30 minutes where we can get this bird's eye view of all of these different faiths and religions and beliefs that circulate in our world, but not only in our world, in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and in many of our families. God, I pray today that you would give us wisdom about your son Jesus, and you would do that through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. God, that we would be able to have more knowledgeable conversations with our friends who believe in different ways than we might. God, thank you for this time of study. We love you. We trust you. We thank you for Jesus who came to this earth for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.